if we left off the previous year, we were discussing solutions to the issue of achol basal lechol gvina. So everybody agrees that there's a prohibition to eat gvina, eat milchiks immediately after eating fleishiks. We pointed out already at the beginning of the sugya that this is clearly not an issur d'oraisa because it's obviously not derech pishul, and it's not even literally eating together, but with the rabbanon it's viewed as eating together, either because of the taste that's in the mouth, because of the meat, or because of the meat that's in the mouth, because of either because of the taste in the mouth or because of the meat that's stuck in between the teeth. So there is a problem with the rabbanon of eating gvina until one does something. And the question is, what must one do to rectify this problem? So we saw that there are really two different Gemaras that give us two very, very different kinds of solutions. One Gemara spoke about waiting a certain amount of time, misu'udu l'su'udu, we weren't exactly sure what that was yet. And the other Gemara spoke about doing some kind of an action of kinuach and adach, and washing out your mouth, cleaning up your mouth, some kind of a physical action. So which one is it? So we saw at the end of the Shiur Wednesday, there's a machlekes, and we showed him what is the solution to the solutions. So according to Tosas, who quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, either one is acceptable. You have a choice. You have a choice. You want to clean. You don't want to clean. You want to wait. Either one is fine. According to the Rambam, no. According to the Rambam, the two different solutions to the two different problems. When you're going from milchiks to fleishiks, that's a significantly less problem. There's no basa shebena shinayim. So that's sufficient just to clean out your mouth. Whereas if you're going from fleishiks to milchiks, then you require the waiting period. So now that we understand that Bein Lefi Tos, Bein Lefi Rambam, there is some halachic significance to the waiting period, we're just not sure if it's something that's always needed from basal gvina or it's sometimes needed from basal gvina, but everyone agrees that it exists. Now the question becomes, well, what is it exactly? What exactly does this lasuda translate to mean? So we pointed out at the end of the shiur that the Rambam quantifies this period in terms of kishay shows. How did the Rambam get kishay shows? He made a simple calculation. That's how long there was a span of food, a span of meals. But for Tamir Chacham, Marutfo was the type of Chacham. He was the one who was saying that he would wait for Suda L'Suda. The Gemara Pesachim says that Tamir Chacham would eat their Suda's Boker close to Chatzos. They would eat their Suda's Erev at the end of the day. So that's 6 hours. The Rambam just added up the time between the two meals and came up with the magic number Kishin shows. However, other Rishonim have a radically different way of calculating what the Suda L'Suda is, a conceptually different way. And that is taken actually by Tosos themselves. So if you take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. So Tosas tells us, Tosas Chulun Daf Kuvem and Aleph, the Sudach Haris Achana, La Bisudasa Shigil Lasos Achas Shachas Achas Aris. What the Gemara is not talking about is the standard norm between morning night meal and evening meal, unlike the Rambam. Elafuli Alter in Sinek HaShulchan Adirich Mutter. But all you have to do is clear off the table and bench. And that is misud l'suda. So I had my meat, and now I want to have my ice cream for dessert. So Tess tells us, no problem. Just clear off the table and bench and come back. Come back 5 minutes later, and you can have your milchiks. That's okay. That is cool. Literally misud l'suda. Then Tess tells us has a startling phrase to describe this phenomena. Tess themselves seem to be a little bit disturbed. It seems to be a very, very strange kula. The low plug rabbanon, the chachamim made it as a low plug. They made it as a, they don't want to differentiate between different kinds of misud l'suda. Now the reason why this is strange is this is not the classic way we apply low plug. Low plug is used, don't do F because you make up to do Y. So we assess that and say 95% of the time, X may lead to Y. But every once in a while, X may not lead to Y. So now we have a choice to say that we're not going to make the gezeira in those 5%. We're going to say across the board, a low plug, whether the reason applies, doesn't apply as a low plug. You can't start fine-tuning and saying this applies to you, doesn't apply to you, applies to you, doesn't apply to you. It's just the gezeiras don't work that way. The tzibur just doesn't function that way. So that's what's called the low plug. So we usually use low plug in a chumrah that will apply the gezeira, even if the reason doesn't apply. Here, the Balei Taisa are using low plug as a kula. Namely, we're going to apply the kula even though the reason doesn't apply. Now, the real reason why misud l'suda usually works is because it mitigates those physical concerns, whether the physical concern is the taste, whether the physical concern is the meat and the teeth, whatever those physical concerns are. Generally speaking, after a certain amount of time, those concerns are going to be significantly less problematic. So comes to us and says, generally speaking, what would make sense is to make it the quantum misud l'suda. But lemaisa, not everybody eats meals at the same time. So how are you going to tell somebody mishum masuda and say for one person 6 hours, one person 4 hours, one person 2 hours, one person 3 hours? So the answer is once the meal is over, that's mishum masuda. 99% of the time, people are not going to have another meal 5 minutes later. For the one person who does, so he gets ice cream. For the one person who does, so he's allowed to eat his milk mix. So lo plug rabbana na filikul. So this is a concept that we find sometimes by dinim derabbana. Again, it's a little bit opposite of what we usually think of lo plug, but this exists as well. So now we really have developing here two different machleksim between Tosos and the Rambam that are not really dependent on one another. Two different machlokes, maybe not dependent on one another, two different machlokes in Tosfos and the Rambam. What is the significance of waiting in order to become milchiks? This term that we're all familiar with, the little kids, we know, I'm fleshish, I have to wait until I'm milchiks. What do those words mean, I have to wait until I'm milchiks? So according to Tosfos, it doesn't really mean you have to wait until you're milchiks. You can opt to clean out your mouth, and that would be acceptable as well. So according to Tosfos, cleaning out your mouth is one option, and waiting, whatever X amount of time is another option. According to the Rambam, waiting is a necessity. If you're going from meat to milk, if you're going from milk to meat, then the story is different. But if you're going from meat to milk, then waiting is chaykali avon. Absolutely have to wait. Now, assuming we're talking about a waiting period, according to the Tosfos, either almost like the voluntary waiting period, or according to the Rambam, the mandatory waiting period, how much is the waiting period? According to the Tosfos, it's not a period. It's just benching inside the next meal 2 minutes later. According to the Rambam, it's kishay shos. How do we paskin l'aloch on both of these very, very important questions? So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Mamre Kamos. So Shulchan Aruch, again, not surprising, Shulchan Aruch 9 out of 10 times follows the Rambam. So Shulchan Aruch writes in the fifth of the Mamre Kamos, Ochol basar afil shechayv of, lo yochol gvina achorav shishe, sheish shos. If a person ate meat, and here the Shulchan Aruch is quick to point out, this applies to all meat, not just besav heim, it applies to chayv, to of. Now, we touched on this a little bit, why of maybe is different. We have a lot more work to do as the sugi develops. Hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about the possible differences, maybe differences in meat between Bisabeh and Bisarov. But for now, the Shulchan Aruch is lumping it all together. If you're fleishik, you can't eat the cheese, sheyesh sheishos. You have to wait for 6 hours. That's it, finished. So he quotes the Rambam. So now, let's skip down 3 lines into the Mar Machom, where the Ramo quotes v'yesh omer, and also not a great surprise, the Ramo usually would quote the Balei HaTosfos. The Shulchan Aruch writes in the Sefer Beis Yosef that he used 3 major Rishonim in order as pillars of Psach Halacha. One was the Rif, one was the Rambam, one was the Rosh. And the Ram Mahatas, generally, there was Machlokes between the three. He would follow 2 out of the 3. That was the general Mahalach HaPsach. Not always, but 90% of the time, that was the Mahalach HaPsach of the Shulchan Aruch. That's why, of course, the Shulchan Aruch ended up on the side of being much, much more in sync with the Sephardi traditions, because both the Rif and the Rambam was Sephardim. The Rosh was an Ashkenazi, so the Rosh very often lost out the vote. That's why what has become standard Sephardi practice is much more reflected in the words of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambo was an Ashkenazi from Poland, and the Rambo would very often quote Yesh Omrim. He would make reference to the Sheet of Sarash, he would make reference to the Sheet of Rashi and Tosfos, to the Mordechai of Rutenberg, or the Gedolei HaRishonim of Ashkenaz that the Beis Yosef would quote, but then very often would side against. So here is also an example of this, that whereas the Shulchan Aruch is quoting verbatim the Rambam, the Rambam is now making reference to the Sheet of the Balei HaTosfos. So what does the Balei HaTosfos say? So V'yesh Omrim, let's go back there for a moment. V'yesh Omrim, the Ein Tzrich Mahapten Sheishos, Rach V'yad Im Silek U'Bircha, Birach Birch Zamazon, Muta Ede Kinuach V'Hadocha. So comes the Rambam and says, there are those who say, you don't have to wait 6 hours. You really only have to bench and start the next meal. And as long as you do kiruch v'adacha, you're good to go. So here the Rambam has almost combined 2 different factors. The Rambam is really, really taking 2 different issues and almost joining them into one. He's addressing the issue of how do you define misud l'suda. So the Rambam put a time in the clock of 6 hours, and the Rambam is quoting Tosfos as not true. Even benching is good enough. But then from left field, the Rambam also brought in kiruch v'adacha. Why does he bring that in? So here, many Achorim explain what the Rambam is saying is as follows, that there are 2 different issues here. One is the issue of how long do you have to wait if you have to wait? And number 2, do you even have to wait altogether? So the Rambam seems to be saying that we're going to be makel based on like a shtickle sveik sveika. What's the sveik sveika? Maybe Tosfos is right that all you have to do is bench. And maybe that's called misud lusuda. And even if Tosfos is not right, even if the Rambam 6 hours is right, but Tosfos had another tzat loko, maybe you don't even have to wait misud l'suda. Maybe the misud l'suda wait is only for the people who are not able to do kiruach v'adacha. If you're able to do kiruv medacha, you don't have to wait at all. So that seems to be what the view of the Rama is that we don't want it to make it like Tosus outright. If you really truly follow the view of Tosus, then you don't have to, you just bench. You don't even have to clean out your mouth. Just bench and start to have your ice cream. If you really truly follow the Shita of Tosus, then you don't even have to bench. You can just clean out your mouth and eat ice cream and dessert the same meal. So either one of those options would really work in the world of the Balei Tosus. But the Rama says we're a little bit nervous. We're not sure. The Rambam disagrees with both of those options. Therefore, what we'll do is we'll make a kishtikel sveik sveika. We'll say that if you benched and you washed out your mouth, then one of those two things will probably work for you. Again, even though the Rambam would say it doesn't work with Chalav, the Rambam would say that's a nisagomer. All the benching in the world is garnished, and cleaning out your mouth is garnished, according to the Rambam. Cleaning out your mouth is reserved for milchik sefleishik, not vice versa. But on that, we're willing to be makers. So it's a kishtikel sveik sveika. Maybe benching is called misud lasuda. And even if it's not, who says you actually need Misud Lasuda?
Rebbe?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I love Tosfos's approach, but if we go back and using the Gemara as a source, what's the Raman Tosfos's approach to, you know, bringing up that reason? In other words, we started out with the Gemara that it was 24 hours, then it was Suda Lasuda. So I understand the Rambam's psak. I don't understand.
Tosfos is saying two things. Tosfos is saying, number one, the whole waiting is only for the people who are not going to clean out their mouth. That was one day in Tosfos. And then the other possible kula is that Misud Lasuda doesn't mean 6 hours. Misud Lasuda means benching. So Mar Ukva's father was very, very machmir. He waited 24 hours, but we don't follow that. That was Midas Chasidus. Mar Ukva was saying, I personally would help Misud Lasuda. So whereas the Rambam said Misud Lasuda meant the time on the clock, according to Tosfos, it doesn't mean a time of the clock. It just simply means benching. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. So the Rama is willing to combine the two kulas together. But then the Rama all of a sudden throws a chumrah at us. In the middle of the kulas, all of a sudden the Rama switches teams for a minute. And the Rama writes, from Minigah Pasha from Didus Elu, that the standard custom in these countries, the Rama lived in Poland in the 1500s. So the Rama is writing that in these places, namely Chachmei Ashkenazi, our great-great-great-grandparents. That's what the Rama is talking about. The minig is to wait 1 hour. This was the standard minig. The standard minig in the 1500s was to wait 1 hour after me. And then they would eat cheese. What in the world did the Rama just say? The Rama writes that yes, basically, fundamentally, we can be makil like Tosfos. Just wait it out an hour and that's okay. I'm sorry, just wait till benching, that's okay. But let's throw out an hour for good luck. Let's wait an hour in addition. Now, we'll scratch our head and say, wait a second, we learned the whole Gemara together. We learned all the Rishayim together. We've never seen this stuff. Where in the world did this number an hour come from? It seems like an arbitrary number. So the Teretz is, the reason why we didn't find it in the Gemara, because it doesn't exist in the Gemara. The source for this hour, the Vilna Gaon says, is a statement of the Zohar. The Zohar says that a person shouldn't eat basa b'chalav, v'sudos achas in one meal, v'shayt achas, and in 1 hour. At the same hour, the same sitting, whatever that is, one shouldn't be eating basa b'chalav together. So the Rama seems to be saying as follows, says the Vilna Gaon. Me'ika me'ikar adin, we really hold, says the Rama, like Tosfos, that benching is really good enough. And we throw in kiruv v'hadacha also. But although the Balei Tosfos after meat, as long as you benched in between, that's the Suda Cheres. We are nervous a little bit. We're chayshish a little bit for the Divrei HaZohar. The Zohar is written by the Rav, days of Shubay Chai. So we're concerned with the view that appears in the Zohar, even though, again, it doesn't have a source of the Gemara per se. And therefore, in the essence, it's a chumrah we throw on an hour also, in order to fulfill this view, this opinion of the Zohar. So it's been almost a combination of different things we pick and choosing and combined what became what the Rama testifies in his days was the Minhag HaPashut Bebedinos Elu. Now the Rama makes an entire about face. If you skip ahead a little bit further in to the Rama, V'yesh Medachtigim, towards the end of the line of the Rama, the first one line is Aruch B'Shem Harach. V'yesh bedachtigim lahamtin sheishos achar achilas. In my mekoros, some of the achar achilas bas lagvina, v'chein nachal lasos. So Ramo writes, and even though he testified what the minhag poshut is, so he's telling what the oilam is doing, but the Ramo writes, there are those who are medakteh, there are those who are extra frum, and they wait 6 hours, and obviously following right out of the Rambam's book, and says the Ramo, v'chei nochel lasos. If you want to know what I do, what you should be doing, that is the more correct custom, says the Ramo. He's not saying it as the Ikra did, he's saying it as the more correct custom to cut out all this kibroch v'adochas and maisloch and hours and bed. Forget that whole mahalach, forget that whole story. Just go with the straight Rambam Shulchan Aruch of waiting 6 hours v'chei roi lasos. So although the Ramo presents it almost like a little bit of a midas chasidus as a chumrah within Ashkenazi communities, the later poskim led by the Shach was not that much later than the Ramo. The Shach was in the 1600s. The Shach writes that one should not be makel at all under Shaila. The Shach says that he thinks that the Ikra din is in fact not like Tosis. The Ikra din is like the Ramo. That Suda Lasuda really means what it says, and there's a certain objective number of the Suda Lasuda, and therefore one should wait. And the Shach speaks in very, very, very strong terms about those who don't wait for the 6 hours. He doesn't think they follow the correct opinion. So when all the dust settles, we have a whole array of different takes on what do we think about this magic number 6 hours. So we have the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach who are saying that we should really, really follow it. The Ikamikra, then this is the accepted halach like the Rambam. On the other here, the Tolo here who follow, we have the Ramaz, Minhag HaPoshut, that's saying that Nikra Din, Kibruch Badocha, with benching is sufficient, and we throw out an hour to Imacha for the Zohar. And then you have the Ramaz work to type up and say, listen, that Shtikul Torah of the Minhag HaPoshut is probably the correct one, but as a proper Midas Chasidus, Chayr El Hayris, Chayr El Minhag, the Ramaz himself probably followed was to actually wait the 6 hours, not as an absolute din, but as a Midas Chasidus, so to speak. So you have an array of different opinions in the later poskim. What our take is on this Rambam's magic number of Kishei Shos. You may notice, or probably not notice, because it's not there, is that nowhere in any of the classic sources that we discussed, we learned the sugya through the eyes of the Gemara, through the eyes of the Taisus, through the eyes of the Rambam, through the Shulchan Aruch, through the Ramah, the Shach. That's where you generally learn through a sugya. There's one thing that is conspicuously missing, and that is the view of waiting 3 hours between meat and milk. The reason why it's conspicuously missing is because it doesn't exist in the classic sources, the sources of Rishonim. There really is no mention of this custom of waiting 3 hours. There are some who wanted to attribute this custom to a statement of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham was a Talmud of the Rosh, actually from Ashkenaz, from Germany. And there is a line in there that the Rabbeinu Yerucham makes some kind of a reference to 3 hours, but it's been shown later that it's very, very possible that it was a Tosafot, that it wasn't the Gimel wasn't supposed to be there. The whole 3 hours was really a mistake. This doesn't have a source in Rabbeinu Yerucham. What does it have a source in? Where in the world does it come from? If it doesn't appear in the Gemara, the Rishayim, Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, Shach, Taz, Grow, where in the world does the 3 hours come from? So we know that there are many of German background, many of the Yekesh communities have discussed what in the world is based on. So there are some who suggest that maybe it's based on the following. You know, this whole term, Yisud L'Suda, is a very, very vague term. We've already seen two extremes in Rishonim, what to do with Yisud L'Suda. We saw the Rambam, who put a magic number of 6 hours on it. We saw Baliatosis, who just put a bench in your hand and called it a day. But is there a third possibility, logically, what Yisud L'Suda means? So it's very possible that Yisud L'Suda is not so objective, like that because my oak for 6 hours apart, therefore me and Bergerfield, I have to wait 6 hours also. Maybe Misud Lusud is more in sync with what the custom is in that place. Maybe Misud Lusud was not a formal tachanotzacham of time on the clock, but it was more, the idea is that it should be the next meal. Must make the next meal. So whatever the Dr. Makach of that time and place. Communities in the world, particularly in that area of Germany, that apparently at different times in history didn't have full meals in the sense that we have today. We have 3 full meals. In much of the ancient world, they ate 2 full meals, but there was almost like a little bit more of a coffee breaks in the middle, a little bit more snacks in the middle. They had a Suda Boker, then there wasn't so filling. Then a little bit in the middle of the morning, they would have another quasi-Suda, a brunch. Then they would have a late lunch, so an early supper, and then a dinner. They were almost spread out. The meals were spread out throughout the course of the day a little bit more. If that's the case, that the meals really were spread out, maybe one could argue that fulfills the idea of Misud L'Suda. Now, the Bisud Lesuda was never an absolute statement of hardcore number, but it was more of a reflection of whatever the Oilam was doing in that place, and you could have different numbers for Bisud Lesuda. So some Acharonim write, maybe that's where this minute came from. We don't really know where this minute came from. Some suggested that's where the minute came from. Problem is, if that's where the minute came from, then the minute may have to disappear because that reality doesn't really exist today. We don't really have that system of having five small meals. We have pretty demarcated meals. How many hours between the demarcated meals? That's hard to say. Well, depends on the time you finish davening shachar. It'll depend on when you eat breakfast, and depend on when you eat lunch, depending on when you break in the. I'd say between lunch and supper in America, there's usually about a 6 hour break. You know, I don't have my own eating schedule. I usually eat lunch and shiva right before I say shir. And then by the time I get home, by the time I sit down to dinner, it's usually 7 o'clock. So it's usually a good 6 hour break between the two. So I don't know. I'm not sure whether that, if the 3 hours is based on the minute I'm up home, I'm not sure how that would play out this manner as that. But so suffice it to say, there are multiple customs in the Jewish people, adayim as that, as to how many hours or lack thereof one is required to wait in order to go from Basa Ligvina. So you have the whole array of opinions. So you have what I would say is, to quote from the Ramah, the Minhag HaPashut today, so the Minhag HaPashut is 6 hours. That's the starting baseline Minhag for the overall majority of Klal Yisrael. The Sfaradim, that's like not even a discussion point, like negotiating with the Sfaradim. The Sfaradim, of course, hold 6 hours, right out of the realm of the Shulchan Aruch, so that's for sure. And even in the world of the Ashkenazim, so although it wasn't as prevalent back in the 1500s, by today's world, and again, I can't think exactly when the switch happened, but already by the days of the Shach was a strong advocate of the switching to the 6 hours, and by the world of our great-great-grandparents, already became the Minhag HaPashut. So generally speaking, the standard general Minhag in the Ashkenazi communities is also 6 hours. However, those who do come from Yekisha backgrounds, those who have many of the Minhagim with the Yekis, so they follow their Rabbanim, they follow their Minhagim, and get, even though we're not 100% sure what it's based on, but it's no worse than the Ramos minute. The Ramos sanctioned even less than the 3 hours. So those who follow that minute, Pashas continue to follow that minute. And then there is a very, very small group of guys that still are following the minute of the Ramos. The original minute, the minute of Pashas of the Ramos, that in some communities hasn't changed in the last 500 years. And that is the notion of waiting an hour. That is usually associated with certain communities from Holland and Amsterdam area that still maintain this custom adayim azeh. There aren't that many of them, but there are still some. Those who have that minhag avos, they follow the Ramah, so they have a right to follow that minhag Ramah. But again, for most of us who don't have that custom, so we should not be running to adopt either the 1 hour or the 3 hours. If you have a particular family tradition, that's one thing. Person is starting from scratch, doesn't know what his family minhag is, not true, but doesn't know where he's coming or going, so then he should adopt the minhag that is the clear prevalent minhag of the overall majority of Klal Yisrael today, and that is the 6 hours.
So really, sorry.
Yeah.
No, I was going to ask. I seem to recall many years ago when I learned this, there was a Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that made a difference if it was a mamashos. It was solid.
Right. You're correct. Right. We didn't get to that part yet, right? That's going to be a further shala. If you have just chicken soup, you become plagiarist from chicken soup, right? It's going to be a further machlokes.
So, Rabbi, so if you change your location, then the minhag shouldn't follow. Is this like Kriyas Megillah? The minhag is where you are, not the minhag what you know historically, meaning the metzias of where you live becomes your minhag, not necessarily a mesorah.
Right, well, there is a concept of the minhag I'm off. The Megillah is a little different. So the Megillah is not a question of a minhag. The Megillah, which they read the Megillah on, is a halach, but you dial your tesvah. There is a sugi in the fourth back of Pesachim called Minhagi HaMakom. So the general rule of Minhagi HaMakom, when you have certain Minhagim that are Makom oriented, like the Moshel, like the Gemara says that there was a different Minhagim whether you're allowed to eat roasted meat at the Seder. So Makom Shinago Lecho Lecho, Makom Shinago Lecho Lo Lecho. Or there were two different Minhagim about doing work on Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah says Makom Shinago Lasel Skolachom Tisha B'Av Osim Makom Shinago Shlasel Ein Osim. So then the Mishnah, the Gemara continue and say that whatever a person uproots their place, they go from. Are they still bound by the original minhagim? So the Mishnah says that if you're going from one place to another, no sibal of chumre makom sheyotzei sham, but chumre makom shebal sham. You have to follow the chumres of both places. You still consider to be a ben of the original makom that you left, so you have to follow, keep up those minhagim, and you can't change the minhagim in the place that you are because that's going to lead to the machlekes. So you're stuck with the chumres of both. So Gemara says that's only true if you're not eikid yirasa. That means I'm visiting. Let's say I'm visiting from Eretz Yisrael, coming to America for a couple of weeks. So then I have to follow the minhagim of both places. If I'm ogid diraso, if I moved from one place to another, and I ain't dait lachzor, I'm not planning on returning, so then I become a ben of that place, and then I follow those minhagim and makom, ben l'kulu ben l'chumra. That's when you have real minhagim that are linked to mekaymus, real, mekaymus kavua. Very often, especially in today's world, we don't have such kehilos as man hazeh. There are very, very few places in the world today that we could say, there's a za minig, amokum kavua, in this place, such and such. It's kind of hard to make that assessment for a lot of things. One of the most famous examples of this is tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In Europe, there was still mekomos kavuim, the minig in this part of Europe was not to wear tefillin. The minig in this part of Europe was to wear tefillin. Came to America, so Moshe writes the Tshuva, America is a melting pot, a collaboration of different minhagim. So again, there are certain pockets that maybe are still locked in. There's certain, to quote a phrase that's common in today's lingo, certain bubbles. There are certain places that are still in their own bubble. So yeah, if a person would go to New Square today and walk at the shul with his tefillin on, I would say that's wrong. That's not correct. Because there is an absolute minute kavu in the Chassidish communities that they don't wear tefillin chag l'yavam. Shein kein, you go into a shtibel in Flatbush, and there are a lot of chassidim there, and there are a lot of not chassidim there, and some are wearing tefillin, some not wearing tefillin. It's very hard to say that you're violating the minhag hamakom. If you go into Broya Shul and Washington Heights on Chol HaMoed, not wearing tefillin, I think that would probably be incorrect. Because there's a minhag hamakom to wear tefillin, but for most of us, these minhagim hamakom are not so clearly defined. So the Gemara says in the fourth parak of Pesachim, there's a concept of minhag hamakom, there's a concept of minhag hamishpacha. When a mishpacha has a certain minag that was instituted as a chumrah, as a minis chassidus or something, so then the bnei mishpacha, tita shtar simecha, is supposed to follow that minag. The Gemara tells a story about there was a group of people who had a custom that they didn't travel on Fridays. That was it. They don't get involved. They're getting stuck on the road in Maisach and Shabbos. They didn't travel and you were finished. Friday morning, they didn't travel on Fridays. The Gemara says that if you are from that family, you should follow that minag. That's a good minag. Because I'll teach this choice of Mecha, the minig makes sense. The minig was instituted to prevent issues of Chilul Shabbos. There are other minhagim that one is not required to follow. The Rishonim write that there are some minhagim that are minhagim mitzvah, some minhagim that are stam dvar betalim, and there are some minhagim that have to be abolished. So there's got the minig. The minig is to do such and such. The minig is shalikidin, the minig is asur. So you're not allowed to follow those minhagim. So just because one's family does something, one community does something, doesn't automatically mean that it's supposed to be followed. Has to be assessed with the eyes of halacha. Is this a minhag? If it's a minhag tov, it's a minhag that was instituted in the right circumstances by the right people, and there's a good reason for it, so then you're supposed to follow this minhag. If it's a minhag that's not a dvar betalim, you're not allowed to follow dvar betalim. If it's a minhag that's wrong, so you're not allowed to follow a minhag that's wrong. So you have to be careful, you know, before we qualify something halachically as being a minhag. But over here, we do have different communities in Klai Yisrael that adopt a different. But wait, this is a halachic issue. This is hadalim shah in the Gemara, hadalim shah in the Rishon. What is the final word on this? So they said it's a humorous story. When I moved to Paramus, goes back already over 20 years ago, when I became the Rabbi Paramus. So I came right before Yom Tif, and it was the first Pashas Vayera. 5-6 weeks after I arrived in the shul, it was Pashas Vayera, and I was giving a shiur between Mincha Bayrev, and I decided to speak about waiting to inflation stabilizes. Because Avravino brings malachim, brings the meat, the milk, the meat, whatever it is. So if you're not going to go to halacha, my stop. So I try to go over this whole sugya, you know, the basic Rashi prakim of the halachas of waiting between mincha and marriage. So waiting between flesh and milk. So in passing, I quoted this minig of that exists in the Dutch communities. I still followed this Ramah, and I said something like, nobody really follows us today. A handful, one or two people, you know, left from these communities. I said, it's not a very prevalent minig today. So little did I know at the time that it was about, I knew there was my mitzvah in shul that Shabbos. The Baal Simcha happened to have come from Amsterdam. I had only been to shul for 5 weeks. I didn't know where everybody came from. So that particular Baal Simcha happened to have been born in Amsterdam, and his family were Dutch. And his entire family, his extended family, cousins, whatever it was, were all there an hour. And they came up to me afterwards. They said that it could be the majority of shul that Shabbos. So you got to be careful before you open up your mouth. So anyway, but notwithstanding that very fine family from Holland, the overwhelming majority of Klai Yisrael still. I remember when a few years ago we went there to Sils, we stopped in Amsterdam for the day. So we did not avail ourselves of the minute of waiting 1 hour. We still kept up the flame going of waiting the full 6 hours. So again, those who don't have any minik to the contrary should follow the standard psach of the Shabbat and the Shach and the minik Yisrael in most places today of waiting 6 hours. But even within the practice of waiting 6 hours, it still has to be fine-tuned a little bit. What exactly does the Rambam mean with that phrase? Because remember, when we first read the Rambam the other day, we pointed out that the Rambam used the phrase kisheshos, approximately. Approximately 6 hours. What image did the Rambam mean to conjure up by throwing the chaf adinyan about 6 hours? Like 6 hours. Appears to be 6 hours. So this was a big machlokes of poskim. Some poskim claim that the Rambam really meant to say that the 6 hours is not written in stone. It's not something you have to sit with your stopwatch and count. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's 7:43 and 36 seconds. Oh, when did half fleshes last? Was it 1:43? Was it 1:42? That's not what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant is kisheshos, that approximately 6 hours. I mean, it's near Mechon that it's 6 hours. Even though it's not exactly 6 hours, it's also good enough. And therefore, it doesn't have to be exactly 6 hours. And even now it gets a little bit gray. Suppose we say it's most of 6 hours. Ruben Gugula, 5.5 hours. Not so good. Some say it's into the 6 hours. It's kisheshos. It's not quite kisheshos. Into the 6 hours. Also good. 5 hours and change. Again, you have different nuances and different poskim as to where you draw the line. What exactly did the Rambam mean with the phrase sheshos? Or one could take the approach. The Rambam didn't mean anything with sheshos. It's not surprising that the Rambam used the chaf. The Rambam in other places also uses that chaf. Like when the Rambam Nuchas Chanukah writes, how long did the neighbor's Chanukah have to light? So the Rambam writes kichatisho. Why did the Rambam write kichatisho? Why did the Rambam write chatisho? So I think the answer is that sometimes we superimpose things in our culture onto the Rishonim. The Rambam was not walking around with a phone with the time on it. The Rambam was not walking around with the Ma'is Manim app on his phone. The Rambam wasn't even walking around with a watch. The Rambam was, keeping time in his head, so to speak. Like everybody kept time. When you had your sundials out, they didn't do you too well at night, and you had your grains of sand, maybe, if you knew how to tell time from them. And time was almost a little bit more natural. It was like you looked, people were more in tune with looking outside. They were able to tell from the sun, they were able to tell from the shade, they were able to tell the body rhythms. People just had a better sense of what time was. But time was not to the second. Time was kishay shals. Time was approximately 6 hours had passed. I know I ate lunch around noontime. I remember it was the sun was in the middle of the sky. Now I see it's already getting dark. Can I say with certainty that 60 minutes time, 360 minutes have passed? No. In the Rambam's day, they didn't keep time that way. That was kishay shals. That's all the Rambam meant. So if you happen to know that it hasn't been shay shals, because now we have clocks and we have watches and we have phones and we know it's done. So you talk, you should wait 6 hours. You're supposed to wait 6 hours. If you're not 100% sure how the 6 hours are playing out. So maybe, but to say that the Rambam meant that he could shave off 59 minutes, the Rambam said he could shave off 30 minutes, that's a big chiddush. Again, there are early poskim who said those shiurim of into the 6 hours, 5.5 hours, those kinds of numbers, but it's not at all mukhak from the Rambam, from the Shulchan Aruch that such a concept exists. So I think yesh v'yesh, there are those who have those traditions. Those who haven't followed those traditions, those who don't have any tradition to that extent, I don't think should follow it. I don't think that's right. We should start chiseling away those who don't have the tradition. I'm well aware of the fact that in certain yeshivas, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, they are making them the Shiloh. There are certain great yeshivas in America, certain great yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael that follow those opinions, those practices of waiting into the sixth hour or halfway into the sixth hour, and they schedule lunch and supper around that. And especially in Eretz Yisrael, there's a fleshik lunch, there's a milchik supper, and the first day the Americans come and say, wait a second, I'm not milchiks yet. There's not that much else to eat, so what do you do? So again, you have to ask those posts of those yeshivas. So apparently those posts of those yeshivas hold. That calls about you in the yeshiva, you're allowed to follow that the practice of the yeshiva. To the best of my knowledge, I think that's the minigun in Beis Medrash Gavon Lakewood. I think that Rabbi Cutler was of that opinion, that you don't have to wait the full 6 hours. And I think that Lakewood's dining schedule is based on that. And I think that the Pesach, from what I understand, the Pesach is that calls binder in Lakewood, so you're part of the yeshiva's practices, and one has a right to be mako. So again, I'm not going to question the Pesach of the yeshiva's in Eretz Yisrael, the Pesach of the yeshiva's in Lakewood. I'm not sure I understand that exactly. I'm not sure why we have to take a 17-year-old American bachur who's used to 6 hours and bring him to Eretz Yisrael that he's supposed to be getting from her, and then oh, by the way, you don't really have to wait 6 hours. I'm not sure from a chinuch perspective. I'm not questioning the poskim in Eretz Yisrael on that one, but if I was If I was running Yeshiva Netzol, I would probably either make lunch a half hour early or make dinner a half hour late. I'm not sure that I understand the great toelis of that idea. Again, I'm not criticizing. Great Gedolei Poskim who are advocating that, but I'm not sure I exactly understand that. But barring those situations, those of us who are not eating milchit dinner in Lakewood or in Yerushalayim these days, so I think we should stick to guns and stick to what seems to be the more standard minhag poshut of waiting 6 hours. And some of these things have been to the 6 hours. After the 6 hours, these are things that we never, our grandparents never heard of. We went to my grandmother, she wouldn't know what religion I'm coming from. 6 hours, meant 6 hours. 6 hours of the clock finish. Hopefully, that's from next week. We'll talk about a real shy that comes up. What if you really don't know? You don't remember what time you finished dinner. So how does that play out? That's a suffix 6 hours. That's a different shy altogether. So that's not a make-believe 6 hours. That's a real suffix 6 hours. Hopefully, it's a show on Tuesday. We'll try to pick up with that. Okay. Good. Whatever. Wonderful, Shabbos.
Shabbos.